Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the latest episode of the podcast where I sit down with Skylar Carter in Athens, Texas. She's not from here, but she's here now, and she's making herself known in the bread-making market. She has parlayed her creativity into a booming business through the farmers markets and both online sales with her amazing bread. And I can speak from personal experience that she makes the kind of bread that I enjoy, which is basically a meal in itself. She's got an interesting story about how she got here, how she got into bread making. I enjoyed talking to Skylar, and I think you will enjoy listening to her episode, and be sure to check out her website she mentions at the end. Thanks for listening, and please be sure to rate and review the show, or better yet, just pass it on to someone else that you think would be interested. Thanks. Skylar, thank you for being on the podcast. This is it. This is the whole setup. So,
all right. Thank you for having me.
Easy peasy. What makes an ugly bread? You told me the bread that I bought from you the other day was not up to your standards, so I couldn't tell anything different.
No. Well, for y'all listening, I was already sold out, and it was a secret one that I had left, so it wasn't like I was just selling ugly bread, by the way. but to me, what makes an ugly bread is when it doesn't have a proper rise. Like, they should be 4 to 5 inches in height, at least, and sometimes it'll come out a little bit more flat or disc-shaping, almost like a Frisbee.
Okay.
That, to me, is what makes an ugly bread.
It was great, by the way. It was the jalapeno...
Cheddar
mm-hmm. bread.
Thank you.
Still got it. My wife, she cut it up into slices. We got part in the freezer. I finished off the first little section today. And I like a bread that is... It seems like traditionally, you know, way back in thousands of years ago, bread used to be like almost like the meal in itself. It's like, that's kind of what your bread reminds me of. Just like...
Like a hearty kind of bread.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Not just white bread that you put a bunch of stuff in between mm-hmm. or a bun or anything.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I get a lot of comments that because people are so used to store-bought bread, you pick it up and it's like, it feels like nothing, yes. right? And so they'll pick yes. up my bread and be like, well, this is heavy. And,
yes.
And yeah, they're all almost 2 pounds. So they are big loaves, but it is just like a crustier, little bit denser bread. And that's not to say that the crumb is dense. It's definitely airy, soft, and has holes in it. But it's going to be heavier than your store-bought sandwich bread.
Okay. I have you on my phone as the bread gal. How did you come to be the bread gal?
So actually, I got a Facebook memory that popped up today. Last year, I made my first sourdough bread.
Really?
On this very day.
Wow.
Yes. So, I was just kind of experimenting with different hobbies, and I tried like fake cake making right before that, uh-huh. right before I got into bread, and that was fun, but I mean, it wasn't like the thing, you know, so I kind of just fell in love with bread baking, and it's almost a meditative process. You're just kind of in the kitchen by yourself, focusing on this one thing for a long period of time.
Do you like have music going, or do you have like a podcast going?
I usually listen to a podcast type thing. I always listen to Reddit stories. Uh-huh. I listen to Smosh Reads Reddit Am I the Asshole stories.
Okay.
Those always keep me really entertained.
Right. There's a lot of podcasts out there.
Yeah.
It's fun for me doing one just because almost everybody can benefit from a creative outlet of some sort, whether that's baking or podcasts or music or whatever, that sort of thing. So I feel like this is my creative deal, and it benefits me. I get to do it, and then, you know, have the show, and I hope it benefits business people and just people trying to do good stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, you're virtually connecting the community together. So
right.
I think that's a really important job.
So is this full-time gig?
It is now, yes.
Okay.
It is.
And so what is the life of a baker?
I think I joke,
you know, time to make the donuts. You get up 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock every day and, you know, making the bread.
Right. Well, before I did this, I was in the marketing industry. I was a digital media manager.
Really?
I was a digital media manager in Austin. I worked for Freebirds, the burrito chain, if you've ever heard of them.
I have.
So that's what I was doing there. And I just decided the corporate hustle and bustle is not really up my alley. Mm-hmm. I wanted something a little bit more self-driven. You know, I like being my own boss, right. You know what I mean? So my typical day looks like, I'm the kind of person who likes to work really long days for a few days versus right. working a little bit every single day.
And just be done.
And then
that.
Be done. So I usually am only working like half Wednesday, and then I've got long Thursday, Friday days, and then just markets on Saturday.
Okay.
So like Thursdays will be my dough prep days. So I'll get up and I will get out like 20 food grade buckets, and I'll make like 60 different loaves of bread.
Really? Wow.
So I'm just prepping the dough during that day because it is so time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So once they're all risen and shaped, I put them in the fridge so they can cold ferment overnight, and that's how they develop that sour flavor.
Okay.
So it's from kind of sitting in the fridge overnight and just kind of fermenting a little mm-hmm. bit more.
The sourdoughs, is that mm-hmm. all that?
Yeah, it's my specialty.
Your specialty?
Yes.
Did you decide on that or just lean toward it? Is it something you found that suited your style or taste?
Well, I thought it was interesting, like the whole making the starter part. So when I started, I made my own starter from scratch, and it was kind of a little science experiment. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of fascinated by it. And then I figured that, well, I'd also been seeing all over the internet, like it's kind of exploding in popularity right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like there's a ton of content creators out there who are all about sourdough and micro bakeries, which is what I call what I do. Like I would be a micro bakery.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of exploding like all over the country.
Why do you think that is?
That is an excellent question. I think that, I mean, it may have a little bit to do with the recession. Probably people want to start, you know, making more from what they have versus mm-hmm. going and buying it, because inflation is so crazy right now. I mean, it would cost so much less to make a loaf of bread than to buy one.
My wife, her grandmother, on her mother's side, she said, I mean, it was every day. It was fresh loaf of bread and, you know, whatever else, you know, might have some leftover, so she would make whatever. Cinnamon rolls or, you know, something else out of it. But I mean, that's just what
people did. It used to be tradition almost.
Yes.
Like almost like habit.
Right.
It was just like you wake up and fetch water for the bath and bake a loaf of bread, or, you know.
Exactly. We've come so far, but
we certainly
don't realize
have.
It sometimes.
Now we have choice.
Yes.
Which is overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be, because I mean, just that the Athens Farmers Market the other day, I mean, you're not the only person out there with bread. That's probably
I'm not the only person out there with sourdough.
Okay.
So we've got bread bakers, and then we have another sourdough baker, and then there's one, a bakery from Tyler that does sourdough also, and they're there. So there's about three of us,
right.
because the demand is so high right now because of its popularity.
Mm-hmm. So how do you keep your eye on things that are maybe becoming popular or becoming less popular? I mean, you obviously got a background with marketing mm-hmm. and everything. So do you just kind of have an eye for it or an ear for it? Do you just look for trends, or you think you're sourdough all the way?
Well, I self-admittedly spend a lot of time on the internet. Uh-huh. So I kind of just collect the data. And
mm-hmm.
That's how my brain
I've seen
works.
That three or
like,
four times.
I've
you know.
Seen that so many times. Yeah. Like, I think there's an opportunity to do something with this, or like, that's an opportunity that I could be missing out on.
Right. So you mentioned the first time I was up there and spoke with you, you said that you hopped up your oven to do more like a commercial style. So tell us about that.
Okay. So sourdough bread baking, you usually, most people will bake in a Dutch oven. Like, you do know what a Dutch oven is?
Yes.
It's like the pot, you put it in the oven.
You use a Scout's for
yeah.
a little cast iron.
Right. So you would put one loaf of bread in a Dutch oven. So in order to bake like a larger quantity, you'd have to have two Dutch ovens in there. So big, you can only fit two at
mm-hmm.
a time. So I went to, and the reason for Dutch ovens is because they trap steam, and sourdough needs steam to rise specifically, or to get the blisters on the crust, or it's kind of the element that makes it sourdough is the steam.
Okay.
Obviously as well as the natural levain. But so I was like, I need to bake a lot more than two at a time if I'm going to do anything with this. And I looked into open baking, which is just, it's just baking in the oven directly without a Dutch oven because you have steam. So originally, before I upgraded my oven at all, I was having to boil water in big pots and then pour it into a pan at the bottom of the oven to create steam.
Okay.
And I'd have to do that like every 30 minutes and it was a huge hassle. And I could not boil the water because the water would take too long to heat up and turn into steam, and it would take a bunch of the energy from the oven and make the oven temp too low, and then the bread wasn't getting done. So I had to figure something else out, and I saw some steam generators on Amazon, just like little $80 steam generators, and my uncle, he did some magic, and he got copper wiring. He got copper wiring and he ran two of those steam generators into the back of the oven with the copper wiring. So whenever I turn them on, like, he hooked it up to an electrical switch.
So this is not like, is this like in your house? This is the oven you use for everything?
Yes. So it's okay. Right. So it has an option to be a steam oven, and then when it's off, it's just the regular oven.
Okay.
So it's in a little cabinet next to the oven, and these copper pipes run from the steam generators into the back of the oven.
Okay.
I don't know how they did that, but they did that, and they kept all the insulation and the heat. I mean, it works great.
Right.
But now I can just fill up like a couple gallons of water in those steam generators, flip a switch, and I get steam within 10 minutes without having to burn myself.
Yeah.
And this and that, and it produces a more even amount of steam versus, like, I hope that water's hot enough to turn into steam and kind of just,
that's impressive, where ingenuity.
Yeah, I mean, I can't afford a $10,000 bread oven.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, sure, that's the ultimate goal someday, but in the meantime, I needed something that worked for me, that I could afford, that wasn't a $10,000 Simply Bread oven.
That's a lot of bread.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of bread. How long have you been doing, well, you only started a year ago, so is this your first year at the Athens Farmers Market?
No, I started a couple months after I started baking, so last July, I think, was when I started the Athens Farmers Market.
Okay.
So I did the last summer season, and then some of the pop-ups in the fall, Christmas market, and then came back this summer.
Where else do you regularly hit with your wares?
I really just do the farmer's market, honestly, and then clients during the off season or the weekends. During the week, I'll do pickups, meetups, and drop offs. I have an online ordering platform, so people,
I went to your website.
Yeah, it's nice.
I guess you made that yourself, or?
The Bakesy is a third party website, so they kind of run all of that for me, but I can go in and put all my menu items in there and my prices and edit it whenever I want. So it's a really nice application to have for me.
Do you have like regular clients that, like, whatever, once a week or twice a month? They just
definitely. Yep.
Do you deliver it? Do they come pick it up, or they meet you at the?
I usually meet up with them either at like a CVS or Piggly Wiggly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it pretty much by word of mouth, or how are you getting new customers? Obviously, people are seeing you at the farmers market and everything, but
I'd say at least 50% of it is word of mouth. Like every weekend at the farmers market, I'll have multiple people come say, oh, so and so told me that your bread was the best bread, so I had to come try it.
Okay.
So I know that a significant amount of my new customers come from word of mouth, and then the other half I would have to just attribute to my Facebook following.
Okay.
I have almost 9,000 followers now.
Really?
Yes. So I think that definitely kind of helps my visibility.
Sure. Is bread your main source of income?
Bread is my bread.
Bread is your bread. My source of bread. I'm interested in the possibilities of things like Facebook and all those platforms and everything, but I've canceled one account over the years, and I just never seemed like a really friendly place, any of those thing. I mean, I have a Twitter account that I've never gone on, a Facebook account that I'll check in once a month just to see if I can still log in or anything. I've never been able to figure out between using them, those platforms, rather than them using you, because if it's all free, then, you know, you're the asset. I mean, they want your attention for their purposes, and just always kind of been a difficult place for me to figure out a positive way to spend time there.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. Like, if you just, you know, hop on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, it does seem like this platform just for heated discourse sometimes, mm-hmm. or, you know, political this and that.
Yeah.
But really, you just have to find your niche and cultivate your audience. And consistency is another thing. Like, you can't just post a couple times and then be like, well, I posted 2 months ago, so people should remember this. Like, you have to be posting multiple times a day, ideally, if you want that to be a serious thing.
Is your content mostly business related?
It's mostly business related, or just like recipe sharing or tip sharing. So people who follow me know that I am a business, but people who follow me who are not local benefit from my page by like the tips that I post and the recipes I share and ideas and such.
Which social media outlets do you think are more positive or more trending upward, and which ones are kind of, you know, yesterday's news?
I think that Facebook is definitely for older people. I would consider myself now an older people because I have, you know, generations under me who are like, oh, Facebook is so lame, you know. So like millennials and upwards are who I mostly see on Facebook, right? And then Gen Z and Gen Alpha love TikTok, obviously. That's mm-hmm. their main platform. I don't really know where the future of that stands with like the TikTok ban and mm-hmm. the legality of all of that that's happening recently. Yeah. But another one is the general internet discourse is that X, formerly mm-hmm. Twitter, nobody really likes it since Elon Musk took over. So everyone's kind of moving to Instagram Threads, which is like Instagram's version of Twitter or X, basically.
Okay.
So definitely probably Threads and TikTok.
Is it do you access Threads like through your Instagram account? Is it just a different app within that?
Yeah, it is. So you can click like go to Threads or whatever. It is a separate app. So,
okay.
But it will link your two accounts.
I see. But it's more like a tweet.
It's like Twitter. It's pretty much a carbon copy.
Do you have family in Athens?
Yes, I've got family in Athens.
Okay. I just curious what brought you from Austin to Athens.
Yeah, so I quit my job and I was kind of having like a half midlife crisis. I guess
you don't look like you're anywhere close to midlife, but go ahead.
Well, that's why I said half midlife crisis.
Okay.
Yes. So gotcha. I was like, well, you know, I went to college and I got this degree, but this isn't actually even what I like doing.
Yeah.
So I've got family down here and they're like, well, you know, why don't you come stay with us and figure out what you want to do? Like, we want to help you out. So it was really kind of them to give me a space to, you know, figure out what I actually wanted to do and take some of the pressure off.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice to have that. So what do you think about Athens and East Texas and everything?
It's, I like it better. I'm originally from West Texas, so it's flat and windy and ugly and full of mesquite trees. So East Texas is certainly more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of the constant humidity, but you know,
this is
you
picked a interesting year for this to be your first year. It is, wow, it's gone up a notch. I feel like I'm in Houston.
I know, it is crazy. Like, I'll go outside and my phone screen is just wet. It's crazy.
Right. What else do you like to do besides, clearly you're a professional grade baker. What other things you like to do?
I have some interesting hobbies. I like metal detecting.
is fun. I've got a buddy that has one, and I've never done that, but I would like to.
It's super fun. I never find anything good, but I'm always just like, awesome, an old beer can. This is so fun. It's just like a little thrill every time you find something.
Yeah, it's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah. I also like to jog. I try to jog when I'm not busy baking, so mm-hmm. I do that. And then I also am a collage artist, so I will make collage art occasionally, but I do it only out of vintage magazines.
Okay. You get those at like a library or just different?
I find them at like estate sales, garage sales, or ordering them off the internet. I try to only use 70s and early earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do with that.
What do you do with art? Is it just for your own
creativity? It's just kind of for my own creativity. I mean, it would be nice to make prints. I'll show you some of them, by the way. It'd be nice to make prints or something, but it's more of just a creative outlet for me at this point in my life.
So you went to school in West Texas?
I went to the University of North Texas.
Okay. That's where you got your degree.
Mm-hmm. I have a degree in marketing with a minor in advertising.
Okay.
So here's some of my artworks. You can kind of scroll through there.
Oh, wow. That's a bunch of it. And these are all the collages from the different magazines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I cut them all out with X-Acto knives, and they're pasted, like glued together carefully.
Okay, so this is actually a sheet of paper.
Paper with multiple different cutouts, like, you know, arranged together.
That's some serious cutting out.
Thank you.
Of stuff, man. Good with a pair of scissors.
Yeah. Well, I use an X-Acto knife, so I can kind of just like draw the cut. Out. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
Fun to find different ways to express your creativity. And you can do that in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere. Do you think you'll go back to kind of the digital marketing? Or you think that degree was...
Only if I absolutely had to.
Right?
It's just...
Do you think just using it for yourself, what you learned?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely been an asset for me. Having that background kind of has helped me build my following up.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing sort of the ins and outs that maybe somebody wouldn't know if they weren't from that sort of background.
If you had to do it all over again, would you still do the same degree, or?
I would still do the same things.
Would
yeah,
you?
I would. Because it wasn't like I spent forever in college. I started college when I was 17.
Okay.
So I graduated a year early from high school, and then I also graduated a year early from college. So I was graduated and degreed by the time I was 20.
Okay.
And then I had some time to just kind of like work my little waitress jobs and, mm-hmm. you know, enjoy life for a couple of years. And then I got a real job.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, it's not really my thing, so.
It's hard to know. I've got a son and a daughter, and they both have degrees of one sort or another. But neither one of them had any college debt or anything like that. And it was, their degrees were in stuff that was, well, my son, he always knew he wanted to be a fireman, so
that was pretty easy.
Getting on the fire department, that's all it was, you know, related to. And then my daughter, she has a bachelor's in accounting and an MBA, and she kind of did the same thing too. She was able to fast track some stuff. She had an associate's degree when she graduated high school, nearly, or went on, you know,
a bunch
just
of dual credit
stuff. She was really able to get it done. But it is hard to know, and I think the more esoteric, I don't know if marketing is, I mean, those degrees have been around for a long time, but it's almost like the real world experience of marketing a real business of your own and everything can be more valuable.
I would have to absolutely agree with that. I've had the thought, like when I first started my corporate job, I was like, I am not using anything that I learned in school, none of this either. I was all learning it on the job, or it was new things that I was learning, because social media is constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm. Seems like education in a direction that it's just, give me a piece of paper. I just need a piece of paper. What do you see your bread kingdom turning into, and, you know, in the next year or two, or
I prefer the term bread baroness.
Bread what?
Bread baroness.
Bread baroness, okay. Bread baroness. I like that.
I mean, I think the ultimate goal is to be able to bake in a commercial kitchen so I can legally sell my bread to local restaurants and stores.
Because mm-hmm.
right now, as a cottage baker baking out of my home, we can only sell directly to the customer.
Okay.
We can't wholesale to retailers.
Or take it to Brookshire's.
I could not. Gotcha. Or I couldn't even take it to like a local restaurant or anything like that.
Okay.
You just can't do that unless you have a commercial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, like, I'd love to be in a commercial kitchen and partner up with local restaurants and businesses and kind of get my bread out that way.
Almost like the challenge that somebody that grows local beef, they had the same kind, or they're not cooking it.
They have different rules and regulations to abide by, but producers of like meat producers and growers mm-hmm. don't have the same stringent rules. I know they definitely have rules, but but not the commercial kitchen type situation.
Do you think it'll be in Athens, Texas, or you got plans to set your sights on someplace bigger? Or?
I think it would be around Athens. I mean, if I did it, there are not a whole lot of commercial kitchens around here in the first place, so I was thinking, okay, well, I could just rent one, and then, you know, once a week bake a bunch, and then I could sell that bread to these businesses. But I was looking around for commercial kitchens, and there just aren't really any available.
Okay.
So ultimately the goal is to have one and then, you know, rent it out to other people and businesses when I'm not using it.
Having the official licensed commercial kitchen, but then you have the other, like you, mm-hmm. would be a vendor. You could come into this kitchen and, like you said, for rent that for a day or half a day or whatever, so I mean, to do all your bread for that week. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept. It's almost like the Uber of baking, you know, where what's it called? The sharing economy?
Yes.
So instead of the capital that it needs to buy, build, lease, whatever, your own building, maybe fed a group of people that needed a kitchen one day a week to do that, and they all went together. And
that sort of business idea is also gaining some traction these days. Like, there are a bunch of ghost kitchens.
Okay, I've heard of that term.
Yeah, so a ghost kitchen would be like a business or a small restaurant wants to partner up with DoorDash or something, but they are going to use, for example, Denny's kitchen. They're going to go to Denny's and cook it mm-hmm. at Denny's. But they are their own restaurant with their own menu and blah, blah, blah. But they're just using the restaurant.
The way I understood the ghost kitchen was you had the ghost kitchen, and they may take orders for an Italian restaurant, fried chicken place, and a pizza place. Mm-hmm. And then so they've got all the recipes and all the ingredients for all three of those. Yep. And they could go from working on, all right, we got an order for the Italian food. This is how we make that. And then the pizzas and...
Yeah, that's essentially the concept. Yeah, so there is kind of just double dipping to save on equipment cost. Or
right, and there's no, it's just like a pickup place or correct. A delivery.
Pickup or
so
or
I get the customer can come in and get it right from them. It's not a sit down restaurant. Mm-hmm. Come pick my stuff up. It's either ready or I can take it home and bake it. Like, what's the pizza place that does that?
I know what you're talking about, but the name evades me.
Last weekend. But anyway, I have heard of that term, and that is interesting. Again, that goes back to the kind of the sharing economy. So,
right, and then that way it's also not only helping me, but helping people who don't have access to a community or a commercial kitchen, right, and mm-hmm. really want to be able to expand their business, but they just don't know where to go.
Yeah, it's shameful how much food gets thrown away.
It's painful.
I've worked at a couple fast food places when I was in high school and stuff. I was farming for 38 years, and the stuff we threw away, you know, just because didn't need it, or it was just, it was...
Yeah, there's a ton of waste.
Yeah.
And even grocery stores, uh-huh. especially, like, it will expire on that day, and they've got, like, a whole dumpster full of, you know, bread or fruit. I mean, just the amount of waste. And because even if it isn't expired, or... for whatever reason why they're throwing it out, they're not allowed to donate it to anywhere because somebody could sue them and get sick. So it is definitely shameful.
Yeah. So we should probably start with tort reform rather than bread reform. So
right.
Loser pays court system would be a step in the right direction. Probably. Were you always creative in high school? Was that kind of just your gig, or when you were little, you just were?
Yeah, I've always been a creative person. I think anybody who does something creative is going to have 10 other different creative hobbies on the side, mm-hmm. too. Like, that's just the nature of a creative person, I think.
Right.
But I've kind of always been like that. I was in theater in high school, and I was also a musician. I took classical piano lessons for... 10 or 15 years.
Really?
So I'm a classically trained pianist also.
Classically trained pianists. Man, I love musicians.
Oh, awesome.
I love music. My earliest memories revolve around music. My folks always, I was lucky enough to always have a record player, stereo of some sort. I can remember the houses, I can remember the rooms, I can remember the albums, you know, the 45s, the old 45s, and just have them stacked on and just playing them. So tell people where to find you if they want some hearty, old school bread that's actually a meal in itself. Where's the best place to find you?
Well, you can always find me at the Athens, Texas Farmers Market every Saturday through October from 9 to 1 p.m.
Okay.
TVCC parking lot, Cardinal Drive.
Cardinal Drive.
And then during the week, you are search up my Facebook page, it is Skies Sourdough, and there's a link pinned to the top with my online ordering site. You can place an order there.
Is that Skies?
Skies with an S? S-K-Y apostrophe S.
Apostrophe S, sour, mm-hmm. Skies Sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's great. Well, it took us some time to get done, and you had to wait out the storms to get up here tonight, but I'm really glad you did, and I appreciate you sharing your interesting story with us, and I wish you good luck in everything you do.
Thank you so much. Thanks, for having Skylar. Me
It's really good.